Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mama Wears Athleisure. I am your host, Mariela De Santiago, a first-time mom. We focus on all things mom with tips to help make life easier and more organized for all you mamas out there. Hi, everyone. Today we have Erin from Mind and Child, and I'm really excited for this episode because we're going to talk about tantrums, which is very, very, very popular amongst parents with understanding why they happen, how do we deal with them, what's the correct way to going about navigating all of this.
Thank you so much for having me. So I am a child psychologist, and I am also a parent. I became a parent about 3 days after I graduated with my PhD. So we're closing in on about 13 years for both. I have a private practice in Texas where I work with kids and adolescents and young adults with a wide variety of issues. But one thing that I noticed is I have very limited time with parents. And through the process of working with their kids, I've always wanted more time with parents. And more importantly than that, I want to be able to get to parents before they ever really needed to reach out and call a child psychologist. So my best friend, Dr. Jordana Mortimer, is also a child psychologist. So back in 2020, we were talking about it and we came up with this idea to make a video parenting course with little short videos with everything that we want parents to know, whether you're on the struggle bus or whether you're doing pretty well and you just want to tune up briefly. Because the other thing that we noticed is that we were recommending all these really great parenting books, but nobody has time for that anymore. And we're all listening to podcasts in the car. And so this was our idea of how to get this really good information out to parents in these short bursts in an easy to view, easy to listen way. So we came up with this idea of Mind and Child, and then we created a parenting 101 course for that. And then we have social media accounts on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook where we give little tips every day. And then we have a membership where you can have access to our course. And then we also put up podcast style talks every month that are a little bit more topical.
I love all that. You make such a good point with we don't have time to read all of these books. So my background is special ed, and in special ed, as I'm sure you're very familiar, there's a lot of like behavior intervention and how do you deal with certain behaviors. But I feel like the science on it changes so often because we get more data and how you deal with specific behaviors is very different, right? You're not going to deal with wanting a candy bar the same way as you would deal with wanting to leave the playground, or there's just so many things. So I'm so excited for this. But I guess just to start off, I would love if you can describe and define what a tantrum is and typically around what time or what age we would start to see this, just so everyone has the exact definition of what a tantrum actually is.
Yeah. So a tantrum is any sort of sudden, somewhat uncontrollable burst of emotion, usually angry or frustration or just kind of general upset. You'll see like on social media over the last couple of years, people have started to differentiate the difference between tantrums and meltdowns with the idea that tantrums are more controllable or more behaviorally motivated, whereas meltdowns are just generally getting overwhelmed with sensory information and are not controllable at all. I think it's important to point out that neither are really clinical terms. So as a psychologist, neither one have a set like bullet point of criteria that I'm looking for or I'm diagnosing. They're just colloquial terms that we're using. And so I think it's fine to use them interchangeably, but if it's helpful for you to differentiate them, that's fine too. So 91% of kids have tantrums. And so I think that's another thing that's really important for us to all remember as parents is that if you have a kid, more than likely they're going to have some tantrums. And there's nothing that you are doing wrong that's developing as a mismatch in how their brain is developing. So the part of their brain that's responsible for expressing emotions and understanding emotions is going full force, whereas the part of their brain that helps them to regulate and inhibit and kind of sort through those different emotions and process them is still developing. So there's this mismatch in their brain and they're feeling all the really intense emotions, but they have a hard time kind of muting some of those when they need to. Tantrums peak between the ages of 3 and 3.5. And you can see them as early as 12 months. And usually we see them until about 5 years. So there's a 4-year range there between 1 and 5, where we tend to see tantrums in most kids. And they really peak there in the early 3s to 3.5s.
I want to say thank you for clarifying and just acknowledging that tantrums are not avoidable, because I feel like you see kids having them. And then as a parent, sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, like, am I doing something wrong? Is this me? So it's really nice to hear that. No, it's not you. It's just part of like the child's developmental stage.
Yeah. It's just a part of being human. I have 3 kids from 12 and a half down to 10 and a half, down to 3.5. And my oldest and my youngest both had tantrums. My middle one is one of the 9% that never really had tantrums. And I did nothing different with the 3 of them. I parented all 3 of them the same. They just have different personalities. And so if you do have the 91% of a child who tantrums, it is not you, it is them.
Why do they usually happen? I kind of think in the realm of special ed about like, well, we have like the nonverbal behavior, we have the avoidance, or we have the attention seeking. So when it comes to little kids, like their reality is very different from like what I would normally see in a classroom. So why would they generally happen?
So I think of it as 4 different categories to tantrums. So one category is just developmental, which is what I was talking about with that mismatch of how their brain is developing. So some people say that toddlers have like a Ferrari engine with little Tykes brakes, where their brain and their emotions are going full force. They just can't inhibit yet. And so that's very developmental. That's not something that we can necessarily control or stop. It is just a part of their development. Another category is more tantrums that come from that sensory overwhelm. And so that's what a lot of people call meltdowns. So they are hungry. They are tired. It is hot in here. They don't want to wear that dress. It's itchy. The restaurant is too loud. And they are just overwhelmed and they need to be taken out of that situation or be fed a snack or get a nap in order to feel better. The other 2 types of tantrums are a little bit more controllable. So one stems for a need for attention. So maybe your kid has asked you to play hide and seek with them a few times and you're busy because you're working and you're doing all these other things. And so the next time they ask you and you say no, there's a big tantrum. And then the last kind is a need for control. So you might be in a stage where you're telling your kid no a lot, or they're just feeling very out of control in their environment. And that tantrum serves as their way to express the fact that they're not happy with the fact that they're getting told no a lot, or they really want that item in the grocery store checkout line and you're not giving it to them. And so then that's the way that they express it.
How should parents respond to tantrums? I know this is going to be like a very broad answer, because I would imagine there isn't just one way that you would respond to it. Every kid is different, kind of like you mentioned with yours, mm-hmm. But what is like the general guideline on how you should respond to them? Hi, everyone. It's your host, Mariella. I wanted to thank you for listening and share some ways to show your continued support. You can rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Share the show with friends and family. Buy me a coffee to help with the financial costs of running a podcast. Follow me on Instagram at Mama Wears Athleisure. And finally, subscribe to my newsletter. Thank you for listening.
I could talk about this for hours, and so I'll give you the highlight. And I do have a blog on tantrums as well that I'll send you that you can link as well, because I could go on and on. But I like to think of the parents' approach to tantrums more as prevention rather than in the moment. So when I was growing up, we had commercials from Smokey the Bear on how to prevent forest fires, right? And the slogan was not, what do you do mid-raging forest fire? The slogan was, what can you do to help prevent forest fires? And I think about that with kids and tantrums of when it is full force, like red zone level 10 tantrum, there's not a ton we can do other than kind of ride it out. Really where most of our work comes is in the prep stages and in all the moments when they're not tantruming. So with those developmental tantrums, there's not a lot you can do other than just wait for them to become 5 and learn how to figure that out. With the sensory tantrums, it's important to be thinking through different patterns. So are they suddenly having a lot of tantrums and they have recently had like a sleep regression? And do you need to address sleep? So my three-year-old daughter, like 5 or 6 weeks ago, went through this crazy tantrum stage where she kind of turned feral for about a week and had these super intense tantrums that scared the other four of us. And it made us worry about, like, is she going to be like this for the rest of our lives? But she was coming on the tail end of a growth spurt. So she had been eating a lot. She'd been like taking these 3 and 4 hour naps and like getting a lot of rest in. And she was coming out of that. And suddenly she was eating like a little bird again. She wasn't taking good naps, but we had still had pushed her bedtime back later because she had previously been taking such good naps and she wasn't getting enough sleep anymore. So we had about 7 days where it was intense and the tantrums were really significant. But once we kind of figured that out and we just got her more sleep and we made sure she was eating, even though she didn't necessarily want to, that all resolved. And we haven't had a single tantrum for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And thinking back on that, that was like a different universe we were living in for that week. But it was really just sleep for her. And that's what we needed to adjust. For tantrums that are more attention-based or control-based, I think it's important to think about, again, when those tantrums are popping up to see if you can figure out a pattern. You know, maybe they do need a little bit more one-on-one time with you. Maybe they need a little bit more control over their environment. And a great way to do that is to give them like lots of controlled choices of, do you want to wear the red shirt today or the blue shirt today? Do you want mommy to put you down to bed? Do you want daddy to put you down to bed? But see if you can feed some of those needs before the tantrum ever really pops up. And that's where the majority of your energy goes. Then I think it's important to start noticing cues that your kid is about to have a tantrum, right? So they're starting to get all tensed up. You can tell that they're just like not fully processing. They're not able to get their words out. And that's a good point to give them the words for what they're experiencing. So you're starting to get really frustrated, or I can see you're starting to get upset. You can even like label the feeling in the room. And so if it's like you're at the park, you can say like, ooh, you don't want to go. I don't really want to go either. Like, I'm having a really good time here, but we're going to go home and start cooking dinner. Do you want to help me cook the noodles, right? Or if you're in a restaurant, just saying like, it is really loud. I'm overwhelmed as well. Let's go outside and take a breather. So just giving them the words to express what's going on. It's like a little seed that you're planting that you're going to see blossom later in their life. They may not have the words for it right now, but when you're giving them those words, it's going to help them down the road and help you down the road. Another big thing when you're just starting to notice tantrums start is distraction. And so when kids get in distraction mode, their brain can't think beyond this terrible thing, like you not giving them that candy bar at 10 a.m., right? Their brain just can't think beyond it. So distract them. And that could be something simple like saying, hey, look at that beautiful bird outside. I've never seen a bird that color before. Or one trick that I do with my daughter a lot is I ask for her help with something in a really silly way. So she's starting a tantrum. She's totally in that tantrum mode. And I'll be like, oh, here's the eggs. Where do they go again? Do they go in this cabinet? No. Do the eggs go in this drawer right here? No. And that automatically switches her brain from the tantrum mode into like a, oh, my mom is so silly and I can help her solve this problem mode. And so she can kind of snap out of it and help me switch to it. So I think kind of catching those cues early on, labeling the feeling, and then kind of distracting them can really help to head off a lot of the different tantrums that can pop up. And then once the tantrum starts, I think if you're in full zone tantrum mode, you can certainly label what's going on again. You can certainly start by giving them some choices. So I can tell you're upset. Do you want to brush your teeth first or you want to put on your pajamas first and see if you can snap them out of it? And one thing I always tell parents is think about forward momentum here. Like, how can you keep their brains moving forward, right? So you may say, do you want the blue pajamas or the red pajamas? And they say green pajamas. If that's a viable option, go for it. Like, don't get stuck in those two choices that you gave them. Your whole motto in this moment is moving forward. But if none of that is working, you just have to ride the wave. No kid has ever tantrumed for all of eternity. They will stop tantruming at some point and you can go back to normal. But it's important to ride that wave once you get there and just keep yourself as calm as you can.
Is there anything that parents can say to toddlers during the actual tantrum? Aside
Yes.
from, like, I know you said, like, label the feeling, but is there anything that would be helpful for parents?
So there's a newer term that we talk about called co-regulation, which means that if you, as the adult in the room, are regulating your own emotions and verbalizing your own emotions and what you're doing to calm down, a lot of times your kids pick up on that. So your kids pick up on the energy in the room. And so if my daughter is in full meltdown mode, what I may do is I may say, like, "Ooh, you're really frustrated right now. I can tell that you're frustrated. Can I help you solve this problem? So you didn't want the pink pajamas. Would you like the purple pajamas? Okay. Ooh, you are still really frustrated. I understand that. I'm feeling a little bit frustrated too. I'm going to sit here and take some deep breaths." And then I will exaggeratedly take some deep breaths in through my nose really big, out through my mouth. And so I'll try to kind of be in the same space with her and just model being calm until she comes back down. Now, there are times and situations in kiddos where that does not work. And some kids just need to work it out on their own. And if so, that's absolutely okay. You have to take how your kid handles those situations into account.
What's the best way for parents to be able to just stay calm during the tantrums? Because sometimes you can be overwhelmed, you're sleep deprived, you have so much on your plate as a parent. And I feel like you tend to sometimes also pick up on that energy. Like, you are feeling the way that they are acting.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it can be hard for parents to stay calm and let it just kind of ride out. Sometimes you hear some parents maybe say not so kind words to their littles. So what's kind of like a helpful way for our parents to be like, okay, maybe I need to step away and then I'll come back? Or
yeah, I think reminding yourself that it's not going to last forever and that this is a normal kid behavior, it is a part of it. And I'll say, when I was a new parent, I did not handle these moments well because I felt like something was wrong with me, something was wrong with my kid. I was like, "I'm a child psychologist and you're not listening to me. How dare you?" Like, I would get almost offended at his behavior. Whereas now I see he's a almost 13-year-old preteen and he's a lovely kid in every regard. And in those 2 and 3-year-old tantrums he had has nothing to do with his future, my future. It was just a blip in his development that was pretty typical. So just having that perspective helps me with my now 3-year-old in that I can find it a little funny most of the time that it's just this funny little stage that I know is going to pass. So I feel like that's helpful. Knowing your own limits, we can say calm things, we can take our own deep breaths, but there are days where that's not going to happen and that's not going to make you feel regulated. And like you said, you didn't get enough sleep, you didn't drink your coffee, you had a bad day at work and you can't handle it anymore. And if you need to step out of the room, as long as your kid is safe, step out of the room. I would say one thing that I see a lot of parents do with the newer wave of parenting trends is kind of meddle with their kids' behavior too much. I think that when your kid is having a really hard time, sometimes you can actually do too much. And the best option is actually just to leave. And if your kid is safe, let them have that tantrum, let them work it out. And then you all come back together when your kid is calm. And that's absolutely okay. You don't have to be present with them, trying to force them to take deep breaths and validating their emotions at every point in that difficult behavior. And even then, there are going to be times where you lose it. And you yell, you say not nice things, you couldn't handle it. And that is okay because you are not a perfect person. Your child is not a perfect person. And they need to actually see you be imperfect sometimes. Don't purposefully be imperfect, but they need to see you as the human that you are. And that's okay. I'm a naturally pretty calm person with some pretty good self-control, but I lose it at times. And this last bad tantrum spell that my daughter had, one of the worst tantrums was in the car in the 5-hour drive home from a trip we were taking. And I lost it and I yelled a little bit and that made her cry and kind of actually helped her to snap out of it. I'm not recommending that as a strategy. But then afterwards, we were able to come back and I was like, "Hey, like, I had my own tantrum, didn't I? Like, I lost my cool. I was feeling really overwhelmed. I was feeling really angry. I yelled at you and that's not okay. We don't yell at each other. And I'm sorry that I did that. Do you forgive me?" And so we were able to walk through that whole situation. And she was also able to see me make a mistake, but me come back and repair the situation and us move forward just as close and connected as we were beforehand, which is a whole nother skill set that is okay and actually valuable for your kids to see. So if you're a normal human being, you're not going to be able to stay calm 100% of the time, and that's okay. Just do the best you can and make sure you come back afterwards to restore that situation the best that you can.
Thank you. And finally, my last question, do you have any other tips, suggestions, or recommendations for any parents out there that are navigating this fun stage?
I mean, really, it's just encouragement that you got it and you've probably got it better than you think you do. And your kid is probably more typical than you think they are. If you find that tantrums are really severe, so you are in a tantrum mode for hours a day and it's not getting better, or your kid is getting past that like 5-6-year-old age range and they're still having a lot of tantrums, that's the point where I find it valuable to go ahead and reach out for help from a psychologist or a child therapist in your area to see if there's something else that you can be working on to help.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time and really sharing your knowledge on this, because it's a big topic. And kind of like I said earlier, like so much is constantly changing on how to deal with certain behaviors or why kids react in certain ways. And it's really nice to know that at least it's a developmental stage. It's not you as a parent.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks. And I will also have that article linked so that parents can open it in the show notes.
Yep, that sounds great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for our next episode. You can find us on Instagram for more updates and tips. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review if you like us.